This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Blunkies and junkies. Have I been saying it right? I feel like I said it that way last week. Or do I say junkies and blunkies? I don't even know anymore. You're both wonderful people. You're both beautiful people. Welcome to the special reaction show here on the PTB Wrestling Network for Hard Times 2, which happened Saturday evening this past weekend. We gave all of you a day to watch and get caught up. So to give you a spoiler warning, if you have not watched Hard Times 2 yet, pause this. Go watch it and then come back. Okay, I paused. Let me bring, of course, my compadre. He is my co-host, of course, on the NWA Saturday special, the doctor, Dr. G. George Bellino, who has a new co-host when I'm sick or can't make the Saturday special. His dog will be his co-host.
That's right, the Murph. The Murph made his debut, but I think he was a little bored of Nick Aldis, so God forbid.
Trevor Murdoch. Yes,
Trevor Murdoch.
If you don't know what we mean, please listen to the live watch Twitch feed, which is on our Place to Be Nation YouTube page. You could listen to the full 4 hours, including the pre-show, while you're watching the pay-per-view.
But I had to catch up because I had to be on a bourbon assignment.
You were on an assignment. Of liquidity. You were in a liquidious assignment. But you joined us on the back end. I want to thank, of course, as always, my good friend, the Kettle Man, Callum McDougal, who always sets up the Twitch feeds properly. And, of course, the treasure himself, Sean Kidd, joined us as well. And you, Doctor. We had a lot of fun Saturday night doing the...
Yes, they did a great job, and I appreciate them kind of filling in for me, even though we would have had them on anyway, but helping you cover the time. And I'll tell you, there's a lot to talk about this pay-per-view, which I know we'll get into. We did feel going into it that it had a little bit more of a pay-per-view feel than we felt before. But we'll get into, the details of how we feel about it once we kind of got the show on the air. Some good things, some not so good things. But, listen, you're not going to have 100% where you're going to love everything on anything. I mean, that's just not human nature, so... We kind of break it down here, and we are the best NWA podcast. So I don't care what anybody says. Sorry. I'm not trying to be an egomaniac about it, but...
Stop trying to be nice.
They have these guys over there and that working for the NWA, and I think we do a better job of promoting their product than they do. So you come here, you want to listen to what's the real deal? You come to this podcast on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. And all the other great podcasts, of course, as well. Yes.
But absolutely. And I'll promote some of those at the end. But this is specifically NWA. And of course, Hard Times 2 was.
And was I want to thank Callum, too. He does a great job with the Twitch. I love all the graphics he puts up. I think he said he got a few messages saying, that some people really want to come over and watch our Twitch feed because we're the only ones that are really covering the pay-per-views for the NWA. I mean, there might be others out there we just don't know of, but that's the only one that he could find. So that's great. Keep
that's all that matters.
Keep doing those things.
That's all that matters is if we're the ones. So that's all.
Exactly. I'm telling you, we appreciate the support and we appreciate everybody coming out there too, because you know what? This is a different brand of wrestling. It's different from the other companies and we're enjoying it. But there's things just like everything else. And we said, there's going to be a honeymoon period, just kind of like there is with AEW. There's going to be a honeymoon period, NWA. But there's going to be sometimes we get like, okay, what were they thinking here? Or we start scratching our heads. But you know what? They're doing their best. They're trying to get more talent, which is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of talent out there right now, especially with these releases with WWE and Ring of Honor kind of closing up shop for a little bit. We'll see if they actually come back. So there's a lot of talent out there, and the NWA is doing a pretty good job of bringing those guys in those guys and gals in to beef up the ranks, especially since they have so many championships.
Right. And they all were on the line on Saturday night. So we're going to do it a little differently than we've done in past reaction specials. We're not going to do match for match because that just takes forever. No one wants to hear that. So I'm going to kind of steal from my man, Nate Milton, when he does the chain reaction shows that I am honored to be on from time to time, where we do the big four. That's the co-opted show with the PTB Wrestling Network and the Kings of Sport Patreon. I'm going to give you all the results, and then the doctor and I will give you our three biggest takeaways from the show that took place Saturday night. So there were 13 matches total, three on the pre-show and 10 on the main show. On the pre-show, the Hex, Allison Kay and Marty Bell successfully defended their World Women's Tag Team titles in what ended up being a four-way tag match. It was originally them, Kylie Rae and Tootie Lynn, and Missa Kate, who pinch hit for Lady Frost, and her partner, Natalia Markova. But then, right before the match started, Taryn Terrell came out with her team of Paola Blaze and my girl, Genocide. And since Genocide was on the winning team in the Champion Series, she called her shot and wanted to be in this match. Well, it didn't matter. The Hex retained anyway, but I do think that my feeling is that Genocide and Paola Blaze will win the titles down the line. I'm pissed off at this result because my partner here talked me out of this pick and made me change my pick. But Mims, with maybe the biggest win of his career, upset Jax Dane with a roll-up.
Listen, I'm not saying I didn't want to see Mims do it. I just didn't think they would, you know, that he'd do the job. So, you know what? Jax Dane's a veteran, and he did the job for him, and it's nice to see some young talent get over.
Yep. And, of course, Jax Dane still has his title shot. And then, finally, the World Junior Heavyweight Championship is coming back, of course. We had a qualifying gauntlet match. It was announced on the show that there will be a four-way match because, you know, God forbid Billy does a match between two guys for a belt. A four-way match for the junior heavyweight title at the next pay-per-view, which, of course, has yet to be determined. One spot will be filled here in this gauntlet match. The second spot will be filled in a singles match later in the show. So, sadly, Darius Lockhart was supposed to be in the match, but he is injured, so he couldn't be on. So it was Victor Benjamin, Sal Renaro, Ricky Morton, Kerry Morton, his son, PJ Hawks, Luke Hawks, Jeremiah Plunkett, Jamie Stanley, Homicide, Alex Taylor, Davari, and C.W. Anderson. That's who came out with George South, C.W. Anderson.
George South is a legend in the South. No pun intended. I think he has a wrestling school. I think he's one of those guys, just one of those good hands. I know, like Sean makes fun of me when I say that, but he truly was a good hand. And you got to mark out for these things like this if you're an old NWA fan. I like the fact that they're trying to gain new fans, but they're also taking care of the fans that are, you know, in their, you know, 30s, 40s and 50s, that kind of, you know, that we'd mark out on those type of things.
Mm, yeah, exactly. But my pick did come true here. Homicide got the win, and Homicide will be in the Fatal 4-Way down the line. And that was your pre-show. On the main show, Austin Aries defeated Rhett Titus in a junior heavyweight title qualifying match. So he's also in the match with Homicide. In the ROH World Tag Team title match, the OGK, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, defeated Aaron Stevens and JR Kratos. And no, Kratos did not turn on him. This time we kind of saw Aaron Stevens get back to his nasty ways. He started wrestling a little more vicious. He did end up getting pinned, but instead of Kratos turning on him, Aaron Stevens flipped out after the match and ran off. So that was very interesting. In what most of us on the Twitch feed, and I'm curious what all of you think, consider the match of the night, Colby Carino rolled up Doug Williams in what was an absolute stiff fest forearms flew all over the place, including one that I thought legitimately knocked Colby Carino out. At one point in the match, Colby Carino's outside. Doug Williams is outside. Colby Carino goes for a suicide dive between the ropes. Doug Williams turns around and literally drills Colby Carino in the jaw with the point of his elbow. I thought he was done. I thought he was cooked.
Yeah.
I thought he was cooked. Wow. He got smoked. But recovered and won the match. So Colby Carino with his biggest
win. If I remember correctly, we thought this was going to be a good match. And this is a big win for Colby Carino, though.
Oh, huge. Huge win.
And I will say this. He could go.
Yeah, he can.
And he's working on his heel persona, which is great. I wish they would, you know, again, sometimes you're beefing up the roster, but sometimes certain storylines. But I'd love to see him. He's actually not bad on the stick, and I'd like to see him kind of be that arrogant heel. I hate comparing people to other people, but like, you know, kind of an MJF type of heel, you know, just a cocky, you know, I don't give a shit about what you have to say, and I'm the best, and you know what, you got to beat me. You know, I love that. I love that. Like, I can't see him being a face. You know, he lives his gimmick, and I love it. And that's what the NWA needs.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I'm predicting, and we'll talk more about this on next week's regular Saturday special. Depending on what happens this coming Tuesday on the fresh episodes of Power, I think Colby Carino is going to be the junior heavyweight champion. I do. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how in a minute. Because
you think so? Yeah, I guess that might be a nice start for him.
Mm-hmm. It was announced.
I think he could be national champion, but right now you have a heel there, so it's.
Of course, I just pulled a Peter Brady. Coming up soon. So it was announced that, remember we were talking, Doctor, the last couple weeks on Saturday special about this new show that the NWA is going to be doing. It is going to be called NWA USA, and it's going to be on YouTube. So we're going back, Doctor, to getting a free show. They taped all the episodes on Friday night, and apparently the final match of the finale of the first season is Austin Aries versus Ricky Morton. So that should be fun. But the big hook for that show is going to be a World Junior Heavyweight title tournament to decide the other two spots for that four-way. So big, big moves here for that Junior Heavyweight Championship. So we know that Homicide's in.
I can't wait to see what the belt's going to look like.
Yeah, I know. You and Sean want the Burger King belt, they call it.
Yeah, because I don't want it to look like the world title. Then I want it to be something different. You know,
yeah.
The 10 pounds of gold should be for the world heavyweight champion. Mm. This is for the junior heavyweight, you know? I don't
right.
know.
Right. No, I concur. What Dr. G's saying is, we mentioned it on the feed, on the watch, the last time which is probably about 5 years ago, that the world junior heavyweight title was active, it pretty much looked like the 10 pounds of gold, except the leather was orange. And it's a junior heavyweight title instead of world heavyweight title or junior heavyweight champion. So anyway, we'll see what happens there. Mickie James successfully defended the Impact Knockouts title. She beat Kira Hogan in a really good match. Mickie James apparently will be facing Sean's and my girl, Deonna Purrazzo, at Hard to Kill, which is Impact's next big show in a couple weeks, I think. In what was definitely the stinker of the night, and not really surprised at this, Tyrus defeated Scion in a no DQ match with the Pope as ref to retain his World Television Championship. Chris Adonis defeated Jedias to retain his national championship in a decent little power match. My kind of upset, because I didn't think this was going to happen, but La Rebellion defeated The End to retain the NWA World Tag Team titles. But the big surprise, at the end of the match, JTG came out. But apparently, he came out with a new partner. And that new partner is Johnny Curtis. Yes, the former Fandango. I don't know if it's Johnny Curtis, because I didn't hear the audio. I'll have to watch the show again with the audio up. But it was, you know, he was Johnny Curtis, and obviously in WWE he was Fandango. So he is in the NWA, and he looks like he is teaming with JTG. So that'll be kind of fun, Doctor.
Yeah, I mean, again, adding some more talent and guys who were, you know, had decent runs in other companies, and it can only help the NWA. I mean, they're really trying to build a nice roster, and I think they're doing a good job.
Yep, I agree. In the grudge match, no accompaniments, no one was DQ'd, but with a roll-up. I think we saw like four roll-ups on this show. Nick Aldis did defeat Tom Latimer. I'll be honest, love Nick to death. Was not expecting that and was kind of hoping that Latimer would get the win there. I was also kind of hoping Latimer would kick the shit out of him after the match, and instead he just kind of sat there like a doofus and walked off. So I wasn't – that's not how I would have booked that, but I wasn't booking. Great match regardless, though. Then out came special guest Mick Foley to do, you know, throwaway promo, pretty much the same as Ric Flair did at NWA 73, only not as good. For the World Women's title, Camille defeated Melina to retain her title in a match that at first I wasn't crazy about, and then watching it again, I'll talk about that when I do my takeaway points. But I once again, I give all the credit. I mean, I love Melina, but I give all the credit in the world to Camille for her performance, and I'll explain why in a little bit. And then finally, to end the night, our world's heavyweight champion, Trevor Murdoch, defeated Mike Knox with a very sloppy, it was one of his sloppier bulldogs off the top rope. It was not very clean. And right as the match ends, all of a sudden, who walks through the curtain? Matt Cardona. Yes, the artist formerly known as Zack Ryder, who had been in Impact, walks out. And then out comes Mick Foley again. Out comes the Pope. Chaos ensues. And Matt Cardona and Mike Knox end up beating the crap out of Trevor Murdoch. So Trevor Murdoch is on his back as we go off the air. So there was your card and your results. No titles changed hands. I was surprised. I thought at least one would. All right. I hand now the shoe, as I used to say back on Main Event, to you, Doctor. Give me your first of three takeaways that you got from this show.
Well, the first thing I have to say is, and we kind of figured out it was a state thing, was the small crowd, about 90 people, and I guess something with the Georgia state law. You know, I miss that crowd that was before the pandemic, you know, even though it was maybe only 140 people or something like that, but I felt there was more energy. I expected a little bit more energy from the crowd. Because I thought it was a pretty action-packed card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, there's some clunkers in there. That's the one thing I noticed right away when I turned on, you know, Fight TV. I was like, wow, this is, you know, and then having the empty seats like that, I thought they should have done a different camera view, you know, just towards camera should have been on the other side. I know they don't really want to show the announcers on the air, but maybe you put the desk off to the side then. I didn't think it was a good look for the pay-per-view. That's my first thing. My second thing, Colby Carino, I think, even though, you know, Doug Williams hasn't been in the United States for a while, but he does have a name over in Japan. And, you know, he has a great indie following. And I thought that was a great win for him. I thought the match was probably the match of the night. And I actually was, you know, I was glued to it. Like today, you know, and you guys really talk highly of it. And I didn't get to watch it till this morning. And everything you said was totally true. You know, you guys said. So I really enjoyed that one.
Mm.
My third thing is, and I know this is stuff we kind of discussed last night, Trevor Murdoch, listen, he hasn't never had really a bad match, but he doesn't give that aura as a champion. I do agree with Sean on that. I mean, I don't hate him or anything like that, because I think eventually he will lose the title, but which everybody will, you know. I think Nick Aldis is going to be the champion again soon. But I don't feel like that was the last match was a pay-per-view main event caliber match. You know, Mike Knox versus Trevor Murdoch. Does that really excite you? Maybe Trevor Murdoch versus Pope might excite you a little. So the opponent, and you know, the fact that Trevor Murdoch just doesn't listen. They all have to be like Ric Flair or Nick Aldis when they carry the belt. They don't have to be this, you know, classy champion that walks out with the suit on and everything. You could be, but and it has nothing to do. I don't know. It just, there's nothing. He doesn't bring that excitement. Like, you know, the beginning of the pay-per-view, they had the Hard Times promo. And when they first did that, I thought they were actually going to start off doing and then doing Dusty's promo and have like different guys from the NWA, you know, like spice it all together. I thought that would have been kind of cool. But I guess he was really more pumping up his match. But even that promo just didn't get me excited for that match at all. I probably have more than 3 points, but those are going to be my three main points.
Okay. Let me give you my thoughts. Number one, I agree with you 100%. I understand that the vid still exists. And we've got to take some precautions. But I would have done one of two things. I would have had this pay-per-view somewhere else, or I would have definitely adjusted. If we couldn't have anybody other than that middle section, then why show those empty seats? Why don't you just tarp them? You tarp them for power. Don't look like the place has more seats to fill. You know, I know that that Joe Galli kind of alluded to the fact that that was the reason why we didn't have a huge crowd, was because of the vid. But fans are starting to like tire of that excuse, because, you know, WWE can do it. AEW can do it. Now, yes, we're talking about big money places. I get that. But eventually, Billy's going to have to start thinking outside the box and come up with better ways to get big crowds, bigger crowds at the shows, particularly the pay-per-views. Power, you can do power in the studio and not care. But pay-per-views, you got to get away. You have to find other ways. So I'm curious to see how 2022 works out in terms of the next pay-per-views. Having said that, the small crowd was very hot, though. They were very loud. So I'll give that the 90-plus.
They were at times, but I didn't feel that energy like I was feeling before COVID. My opinion, you know, that's just how I felt. Now, I do think that you could have done the camera angles differently, and just then you didn't have, maybe it was just a mind thing with me, because I saw that crowd and I saw those empty seats.
Right.
I'm a visual kind of guy. I feel
so much.
You have to create an aura of big time. To me, that looked worse than a studio show, you know, from the 80s. It's like, this is a pay-per-view. Yes, we knew it was going to be small there. GPV Studios is small.
Right.
But you could have done things to make it look a little better. That's just, you know, it's a little inexperience maybe. Mm-hmm. The graphics and all that stuff is getting much, much better. I mean, that stuff
yeah,
is
I
really
agree.
Become crisp. I do think eventually they need to start taking the WWE route and actually like recapping feuds a little bit more.
Yeah,
big matches, not every match, but before some of the big matches, because in case people catch people up a little bit, I think that's one thing I really like that the WWE does do.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
You know, and I think, again, overall, I would say the pay-per-view was maybe like a B-.
Okay.
That's what I'd probably give it as a grade.
Okay.
If I was grading, I was a teacher. There were some really good matches, and then there was thinking, I mean, like the Tyrus Scion match could have been great. I got to see a little more of Scion before I make a judgment on him. Tyrus has slowed down so much. I mean, his character itself is great. you know, like you want to freaking beat the shit out of him when you see him because he's just so arrogant. But his execution in the ring, and I don't know if Scion, because I like the fact that we had a little hardcore action, something different. We don't get this in the NWA very often. They don't utilize that stuff a lot, which is good because you don't want to bring it out every match because then it's not special anymore. But you could have done so much more than that. So, you know, like there's a stinker like that. I think the Nick Aldis Tom Latimer match was very good. But, you know, as much as I love Nick Aldis, I think to keep this feud going, unless is Nick Aldis going to go back with Strictly Business, which is my prediction, that's going to happen soon. But I think you had to have Latimer go over there. I think this was a chance to, and you could have done it in a way where it wouldn't hurt Aldis.
You were exactly right. You had more than three takeaways.
I did, but I'm just giving you I'm giving you my wrap up of what I felt of the show.
Okay. Well, then we're done. Good night.
See you later. Bye.
See you later. Bye. No. All right. What was your second point? I don't even remember now. Maybe going match by match was better.
Colby Carino.
Oh, Colby. Well, I gave you my point about Colby. I think Colby's awesome. Doug Williams did the right thing. The match was awesome. And I do think Colby Carino will be the next junior heavyweight champion. Mark my words on that.
And listen, you and I discussed this before. I like this. I like the style of just giving our points and stuff like that. Because, I mean, breaking down every single match, I mean, I want people to go back and see it. You know, seeing it when you're hearing the highlights of this. But the highlights, I mean, we're talking about a lot about the highlights and the takeaways of what we felt, you know, with the highlights and maybe even the lowlights. But maybe somebody else watches it and, hey, you know, Dr. G, I don't really agree with you on that. Why, you know, I didn't feel that when I'm watching it. You know, that's cool, too. You know, everybody has their own perception of it. But I felt like most of us, at least on the Twitch feed, were on the same page with that in terms of the crowd, the Colby Carino match, which we all felt was probably the best match. Would you say the Tyrus Scion match was the worst match of the evening?
Yes. Yeah, pretty easily. It was
I mean, there was a couple spots that were okay, but yeah, I probably have to agree with you on that one.
That wasn't great.
I think the announcing at times was pretty good. I think, you know, that the three-man team there is getting better. Sometimes I feel like they're forcing it a little bit, like when they're trying to pump up something. But
right.
But Velvet Sky's getting a little better. I mean, I really like her when Austin Idol is in the booth
right
at times. This, you know, she really plays off that pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
You need a heel. Yeah, I think you need a heel announcer in the three, though.
Yeah, no, but you definitely do. I've never been a fan of having nothing but baby faces. It's you're only rooting for one side, and that's not how this works. Occasionally, Velvet Sky will kind of lean a little heelish on certain things, but for the most part, she's not. So,
and the Aaron Stevens thing, too. That was the other thing I spoke about before the pay-per-view, that storyline was really not going to end. We thought it was. We thought it was going to end, or you guys thought it was going to end. I kind of thought they were going to kind of keep it going, but yeah, I like that aggressiveness. I like him like kind of snapping a little bit. Aaron Stevens is so much better of a heel.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where they're going to go with this, if they eventually are going to break up, but wow. Or does Aaron Stevens just totally snap out and snap out on Kratos?
I don't think so. Kratos is a better heel. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I can't see him as a face, but you never know.
To your third point, I thought a lot about this after while you were talking about it and when we talked about it on Saturday night. The moment. And I know Sean doesn't agree, but I have to admit this. The moment at NWA 73 when Aldis came out with the Harley Race jacket and actually beat Nick Aldis for the world title was a nice moment. It was a culmination of a big feud. It was a long story that had a nice build. So in that moment, I was okay with it. But it is evident now that the shine is definitely dulled, and now kind of now the whole luster of him being champion is kind of gone now. And I can't see him making it. I could see him making it to the next pay-per-view, but I see him losing after that. You're right. He's a good character. He connects with the audience, but he's just not a main eventer. I'm sorry. He's just not. Some guys are meant to be main eventers and some guys are not meant. He is not meant to be a main eventer.
I think he's a good tag team wrestler.
Yeah, that too.
If he had a good partner.
But I definitely think that he is an exceptional. That was an exceptional moment. Back at NWA 73 when he won the title. But the shine is definitely dulled at this point. So good points, Doctor. Good points. All of them. All 566 of them.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Well, I don't have any thoughts either. No, I do. All right. Here's my three takeaways. Takeaway one is the show did go quickly in terms of like briskly. It was 3 hours, but they did do match. There wasn't a lot of fluff. The Mick Foley thing, I don't know how much they paid him, but he didn't really bring anything to the table. I thought the surprises were good. Seeing Johnny Curtis was neat. Seeing Matt Cardona was neat. Obviously, they'll be sticking around for a bit because we've got 2 days worth of power tapings. They taped yesterday, Sunday, and they're taping today, Monday. And then we'll see our first big episode on Tuesday night, tomorrow night. If you're listening to this on Monday morning, tomorrow night. And, of course, we'll discuss it next weekend. Point two. Multiple times on this pay-per-view, we had matches involving two guys that were either both heels, or one was a heel and one was a guy that nobody really cares about. And my two examples is the World TV title match between Tyrus and Scion and the national title match between Chris Adonis and Judas. Chris Adonis is a heel. Judas is a heel. So I don't know what kind of crowd energy you were going to get out of that match. The match was fine, but at the same time, the crowd was flat because they didn't care about either guy.
Yep.
That's why I was hoping for a James Storm run-in to save it. So, and I go back to NWA 73. Why Judas won that in the first place, I don't have any clue. And now you have two heels who barely look. I mean, most of the time in this build, it was Judas and James Storm. So Billy painted himself into a corner there that he didn't get out of and just kind of let the match die on the vine. Scion and Tyrus is a different case. You have Tyrus, who is a good heel, but, you know, nobody likes him. And you've got Scion, who was supposed to be a babyface, but nobody likes him either. So as violent as that match was with chairs and tables, that was another match where the crowd really stopped caring. And it was all about the energy coming from Pope as the ref. Otherwise, nobody cared about that match either. So Billy has to realize that as much as his promotion, Billy and the Bookers have to realize that as much as this promotion is blessed by having a great fan base, don't just throw crap at us and expect us to cheer it. We're not AEW. sorry, I had to do that.
Of course.
We expect some good stuff and something to make sense. And you had two big title matches where you had either two heels or a heel and a guy nobody cared about. Thank God you had the Pope as the referee or nobody would have cared about that match. Nobody. So that needs to change. Things need to start making some sense, to be honest with you. Point three, and I talked a lot about this on the feed, on the watch, the live watch. I, with every match, I have to say right now, Doctor, if you ask me right now who my favorite wrestler, my absolute favorite wrestler in the NWA is right now, it's Camille. Yes. Every time she walks into the ring, she puts on a performance. Now, last night, or Saturday night, this was a different performance. In her past matches, she was the one obviously putting on the dominant performance and the baby faces, whether it's Layla Hirsch, Kenzie Page, you know, Chelsea, would Tootie Lynn, I think she wrestled Tootie Lynn, would come up with some like crazy comebacks and maybe surprise Camille with a you know, possible like quick pin or something. In the Melina match, what they decided to do was have Melina be the more experienced worker and kind of outthink Camille and give her a run for her money, grind her a bit. And she was putting in some big time business to Camille in that match. And Camille came back, weathered the storm, and eventually got the win. So it was a different kind of match from Camille than we've seen in her previous matches, because it was a different story being told. Instead of a Kenzie Page and a Layla Hirsch, who may have similar experience to Camille, but clearly are smaller, Melina is a former WWE champion. So we're talking about someone who's been in the business, you know, 10 times as long as Camille has, and try to out-hustle her, and almost did. But Camille weathered the storm and retained the Burke. That's the nickname for the World Women's title. So match in, match out, Camille has delivered pretty much since that draw with Thunder Rosa back in, what was it? May, I think, on Power. April, May, something like that. So I'm sorry. Right now, if you ask me at this moment who my favorite wrestler in the NWA is right now, it's Camille. She brings it every single night.
She does.
And
she does. She's really improved. I didn't totally care for her on the stick at all, but she's kind of getting a little bit better at that. You know, she's definitely working her butt off. You can't fault her. She's taking it seriously, and she loves being NWA World's Women Champion.
Yeah, she is amazing at it, and I think that it's got to take the perfect person to beat her. And look, we said it last night. They also, by the way, one more thing they did on, as you can tell, we're taping this on Sunday evening. I keep saying last night, but we mean Saturday night, of course. They did a in-ring tribute to Jazz, who is retired from in the ring. It's good to see Rodney Mack. A little thugging and bugging going on there. It's good to see Rodney Mack back. Red Dog. But it was nice to see Jazz pay tribute. But when you got Jazz, Mickey James, and Medusa, or Deborah Michelli, Medusa, Alundra Blaze, as part of your booking team for the women, I mean, you really can't go wrong. So, I am, things are looking up for that women's division, but it's going to take the perfect woman to beat, the perfect woman to beat Camille for the world title. So, as for grading this show, would you say B minus?
Yeah.
I'll go a little bit better. I'll say B. I'll give it a B. But it could be, a lot of it is the tone Again, it was a pay-per-view that had a lot of juice and energy to it. But yes, there were some results that I wasn't crazy about, and some of the match combinations. And I even thought this going into the show perplexed me. Again, the Tyrus Scion match and Adonis and Judas. Maybe that ended, and we'll be moving on to something else come Tuesday. So here's the thing, Doctor. You and I were saying on the Saturday special this past weekend, that we think that they're going to go quarterly. So the next NWA pay-per-view will probably be in March, because that's when Back for the Attack was, when they returned. However, Joe Galli did mention on Saturday night on the pay-per-view that the next pay-per-view will be when they have the finals to determine the undisputed World Junior Heavyweight Champion. So I honestly cannot see them waiting 3 months to finish that off. I can't see it. So I have a feeling, Doctor, that the next pay-per-view is going to be sooner rather than later. Just to...
I think you have to at this point. Keep the ball, because you don't want to go into WrestleMania season and have one around the same time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. So we'll see what happens over the coming, going into the new year. So that'll do it. Nice, quick and easy. A lot of fun. We hope you enjoyed the reaction special. We hope you enjoyed the pay-per-view. We hope you enjoyed our Twitch feed and our live watch, our alternate commentary. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather. You can follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. G. PTB. And please follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. I was doing a lot of live tweets during the show. I was getting retweets from some of the stars. Thunder Rosa, Doug Williams retweeted. So thank you. Thank you to those that joined us on the chat. In the both on the YouTube feed and on Twitch, your participation is always welcome. We got a good week here on the PTB Wrestling Network. New episode of Main Event this week. Just one this week, month. Usually we do two a month, but because of the holiday, we're just going to do one this month and talk about all the things going on in pro wrestling. Myself, Steve Willey, and Nate Milton. Among a bunch of other things, of course, we hope you enjoy, the Saturday special each and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we'll be back, of course, next weekend with our regularly scheduled episode where we will, figure out and see what's going on for the future in the NWA creatively. And of course, we will be, recapping the newest episode of Power, which, if you're listening to this on Monday morning, will be tomorrow night on Fight, as they are taping fresh episodes. Another thing we didn't mention, Doctor, real quick, and we could delve more into this next Saturday, or this coming Saturday. If they're not going to do pay-per-views for an extended period of time, they may need to do two sets of tapings. You cannot tape shows out 3 months. That's not healthy.
Yeah, I agree, because if you have an injury or...
Right, but even so, though, by like the sixth Power, those chase shows were just dogs at the end. So I think they need to do two sets of tapings. I think they need to do four Powers, a Superpower taping, Powers, Superpower, or not Superpower, Power Surge taping, yada, yada. I almost said Superpower. Although they did do an episode called Superpower. That's when Chris Adonis won back the national title. So anyway, have a great week. Stick to the feed. We got a lot of great content coming. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning for the next episode of the special. I'm Scott. He's the doctor, and you're not.